When you retire, you get to spend the income from the fund, the eggs, but never the principal itself. In this way, it always keeps growing and you can never go broke. One of our students, named Emma, recently told me her story. 2 years ago, Emma was about to claim bankruptcy. She didn't want to, however, she felt she had no other option. She was in debt beyond what she could handle. Then she attended the Millionaire Mind Intensive Seminar and learned about the money management system. Emma said, "This is it. This is how I'm going to get out of this mess." Emma, like all the participants, was told to divide her money into several different accounts. "That's just great," she thought to herself. "I don't have any money to divide up." But since she wanted to try, Emma decided to divide up $1 a month into the accounts. Yes, that's right. Only $1 a month. Based on the allocation system we teach, using that $1, she put 10 cents into her FFA, Financial Freedom Account. The first thing she thought to herself was, "How the heck am I supposed to become financially free on 10 cents a month?" So she committed to doubling that dollar every month. The second month, she divided up $2. The third month, $4, then $8, $16, $32, $64, and so on until the 12th month was $2,048 that she was dividing up each month. Then, 2 years later, she began to collect some amazing fruits from her efforts. She was able to put $10,000 directly into her financial freedom account. She had developed the habit of managing her money so well that when a bonus check of $10,000 came her way, she didn't need the money for anything else. Emma is now out of debt and on her way to becoming financially free. All because she took action with what she'd learned, even if it was only with a dollar a month. It doesn't matter if you have a fortune right now or virtually nothing. What does matter is that you immediately begin to manage what you've got, and you'll be in shock at how soon you get more. I had another student at the Millionaire Mind Intensive Seminar say, "How can I manage my money when I'm borrowing money to live on as it is?" The answer is, borrow an extra dollar and manage that dollar. Even if you are borrowing or finding just a few dollars a month, you must manage that money. Because more than a physical world principle is at play here, there is also a spiritual principle. Money miracles will occur once you demonstrate to the universe that you can handle your finances properly. In addition to opening a financial freedom bank account, create a financial freedom jar in your home and deposit money into it every day. It could be $10, $5, a dollar, a single penny, or all your loose change. The amount doesn't matter. The habit does. The secret, again, is to place daily attention on your objective of becoming financially free. Like attracts like. Money attracts more money. Let this simple jar become your money magnet, attracting more and more money and opportunities for financial freedom into your life. Now, I'm sure this isn't the first time you've heard the advice to save 10% of your money for long-term investing, but it may be the first time you've heard that you must have an equal and opposite account specifically designed for you to blow money and play. One of the biggest secrets to managing money is balance. On one side, you want to save as much money as possible so you can invest it and make more money. On the other side, you need to put another 10% of your income into a play account. Why? Because we are holistic in nature. You cannot affect one part of your life without affecting the others. Some people save, 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 and while their logical and responsible self is fulfilled, their inner spirit is not. Eventually, this fun-seeking spirit side will say, "I've had enough. I want some attention too," and sabotage their results. On the other hand, if you spend, 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 not only will you never become rich, but the responsible part of you will eventually create a situation where you don't even enjoy the things you spend your money on, and you'll end up feeling guilty. The guilt will then cause you to unconsciously overspend as a way of expressing your emotions. Although you might feel better temporarily, soon it's back to guilt and shame. It's a vicious cycle, and the only way to prevent it is to learn how to manage your money in a way that works. Your play account is primarily used to nurture yourself, to do the things you wouldn't normally do. It's for the extra special things, like going to a restaurant and ordering a bottle of their finest wine or champagne, or renting a boat for the day, or staying in a high-class hotel for an extravagant night of fun and frolic. The play account rule is that it must be spent every month. That's right. Each month, you have to blow all the money in that account in a way that makes you feel rich. For example, imagine walking into a massage center, dumping all the money from your account on the counter, pointing to the massage therapists and saying, "I want both of you on me, with the hot rocks and the frickin' cucumbers. After that, bring me lunch." Like I said, extravagant. The only way most of us will ever continue to follow our saving plan is by offsetting it with a playing plan that will reward us for our efforts. Your play account is also designed to strengthen your receiving muscle. It also makes managing money a heck of a lot more fun. In addition to the play account and the financial freedom account, I advise you to create 4 more accounts. The other accounts include 10% into your long-term savings for spending account, 10% into your education account, 50% into your necessities account, 10% into your give account. Again, poor people think it's all about income. They believe you have to earn a fortune to get rich. Again, that's male cow manure. The fact is that if you manage your money following this program, you can become financially free on a relatively small income. If you mismanage your money, you can't become financially free even on a huge income. That is why so many high-income professionals, doctors, lawyers, athletes, and even accountants, are basically broke. Because it's not just about what comes in, it's about what you do with what comes in. One of our attendees, John, told me that when he first heard about the money management system, he thought, "How boring. Why would anyone spend their precious time doing that?" Then, later during the seminar, he finally realized if he wanted to be financially free someday, especially sooner than later, he too would have to manage his money, just like the rich. John had to learn this new habit because it definitely wasn't natural for him. He said it reminded him of when he was training for triathlons. He was really good at swimming and cycling. However, he hated running. It hurt his feet, knees, and back. He was stiff after every training session. He was always out of breath and his lungs burned every time, even if he wasn't going fast. He used to dread running. However, he knew that if he was to become a top triathlete, he had to learn to run and accept it as part of what it took to succeed. Whereas in the past, John avoided running, he now decided to run every day. After a few months, he began enjoying running and actually looked forward to it each day. This is exactly what happened to John in the arena of money management. He started out hating every minute of it, but grew to actually like it. Now he looks forward to getting his paycheck and dividing it into the different accounts. He also enjoys watching how his net worth has gone from zero to over $300,000 and is growing daily. It comes down to this. Either you control money, or it will control you. To control money, you must manage it. I love hearing seminar graduates share how much more confident they feel around money, success, and themselves once they begin managing their money properly. The best part is that this confidence transfers into other parts of their lives and enhances their happiness, their relationships, and even their health. Money is a big part of your life, and when you learn how to get your finances under control, all areas of your life will soar. Declaration. Place your hand on your heart and say, "I am an excellent money manager." Touch your head and say, "I have a millionaire mind." Millionaire Mind Actions. 1. Open your Financial Freedom Bank account. Put 10% of all your income after taxes into this account. This money is never to be spent, only invested to produce passive income for your retirement. 2. Create a financial freedom jar in your home and deposit money into it every day. It could be $10, $5, $1, a single penny, or all your loose change. Again, this will put daily attention on your financial freedom, and where attention goes, results show. 3. Open a play account or have a play jar in your home where you deposit 10% of all your income. Along with your play account and your financial freedom account, open 4 more accounts and deposit the following percentages into each. 10% into your long-term savings for spending account, 10% into your education account, 50% into your necessities account, 10% into your give account. 4. Whatever money you have, begin managing it now. Do not wait another day. Even if you only have a dollar, manage that dollar. Take 10 cents and put it into your FFA jar, and another 10 cents and put it into your play jar. This action alone will send a message to the universe that you are ready for more money. Of course, if you can manage more, manage more. Success story from Christine Closer. From Christine Closer to T. Harv Eker. To put it simply, after attending T. Harv Eker's Millionaire Mind Intensive, my relationship with money completely changed and my business grew by 400% within 1 year. Most importantly, my husband and I finally got how important it was to save the first 10% of our income every month, no matter what. Now, I'm happy to say, we've saved more in the few years after attending Harv's program than we had in the previous 15 years. Plus, the techniques we learned for solving money issues in our relationship has kept us money argument free ever since. Harv's money management system is easy to follow and works. To your success. Wealth File Number 15. Rich people have their money work hard for them. Poor people work hard for their money. If you're like most people, you grew up being programmed that you have to work hard for money. Chances are good, however, that you didn't grow up with the conditioning that it was just as important to make your money work hard for you. No question, working hard is important. But working hard alone will never make you rich. How do we know that? Take a look in the real world. There are millions, no, make that billions of people who slave away, working their tails off all day and even all night long. Are they all rich? No. Are most of them rich? No. Are a lot of them rich? No. Most of them are broke or close to it. On the other hand, whom do you see lounging around the country clubs of the world? Who spends their afternoons playing golf, tennis, or sailing? Who spends their days shopping and their weeks vacationing? I'll give you 3 guesses, and the first 2 don't count. Rich people, that's who. So let's get this straight. The idea that you have to work hard to get rich is bogus. The old Protestant work ethic states, a dollar's work for a dollar's pay. There's nothing wrong with that adage, except that they forgot to tell us what to do with that dollar's pay. Knowing what to do with that dollar is where you move from hard work to smart work. Rich people can spend their days playing and relaxing because they work smart. They understand and use leverage. They employ other people to work for them and their money to work for them. Yes, in my experience, you do have to work hard for your money. For rich people, however, this is a temporary situation. For poor people, it's permanent. Rich people understand that you have to work hard until your money works hard enough to take your place. They understand that the more your money works, the less you will have to work. Remember, money is energy. Most people put work energy in and get money energy out. People who achieve financial freedom have learned how to substitute their investment of work energy with other forms of energy. These forms include other people's work, business systems at work, or investment capital at work. Again, first you work hard for money. Then you let money work hard for you. When it comes to the money game, most people don't have a clue as to what it takes to win. What's your goal? When do you win the game? Are you shooting for 3 square meals a day? $100,000 a year in income? Becoming a millionaire? Becoming a multimillionaire? At the Millionaire Mind Intensive Seminar, the goal of the money game we teach is to never have to work again, unless you choose to, and that if you work, you work by choice, not by necessity. In other words, the goal is to become financially free as quickly as possible. My definition of financial freedom is simple. It is the ability to live the lifestyle you desire without having to work or rely on anyone else for money. Notice there is a good chance that your desired lifestyle is going to cost money. Therefore, to be free, you will need to earn money without working. We refer to income without work as passive income. To win the money game, the goal is to earn enough passive income to pay for your desired lifestyle. In short, you become financially free when your passive income exceeds your expenses. I have identified 2 primary sources of passive income. The first is money working for you. This includes investment earnings from financial instruments such as stocks, bonds, T-bills, money markets, mutual funds, as well as owning mortgages or other assets that appreciate in value and can be liquidated for cash. The second major source of passive income is business working for you. This entails generating ongoing income from businesses where you do not need to be personally involved for that business to operate and yield an income. Examples include rental real estate, royalties from books, music, or software, licensing your ideas, becoming a franchisor, owning storage units, owning vending or other types of coin-operated machines, and network marketing, to name just a few. It also includes setting up any business under the sun or moon that is systematized to work without you. Again, it's a matter of energy. The idea is that the business is working and producing value for people instead of you. Network marketing, for example, is an amazing concept. First, it doesn't usually require you to put up a lot of upfront capital. Second, once you've done the initial work, it allows you to enjoy ongoing residual income, another form of income without you working, year after year after year. Try creating that from a regular 9-to-5 job. I can't overemphasize the importance of creating passive income structures. It's simple. Without passive income, you can never be free. But, and it's a big but, did you know that most people have a tough time creating passive income? There are three reasons. First, conditioning. Most of us were actually programmed not to earn passive income. When you were somewhere between 13 and 16 years old and you needed money, what did your parents tell you? Did they say, "Well, go out there and earn some passive income"? Doubtful. Most of us heard, "Go to work, go get a job," or something to that effect. We were taught to work for money, making passive income abnormal for most of us. Second, most of us were never taught how to earn passive income. In my school, Passive Income 101 was another subject that was never offered. This time, I got to take woodworking and metalworking. Notice, both still entailed working. And make the perfect candle holder for my mom. Since we didn't learn about creating passive income structures in school, we learned it elsewhere, right? Doubtful. The end result is that most of us don't know much about it, and therefore don't do much about it. Finally, since we were never exposed to or taught about passive income and investing, we have never given it much attention. We have largely based our career and business choices on generating working income. If you understood from an early age that a primary financial goal was to create passive income, wouldn't you reconsider some of those career choices? I'm always recommending to folks choosing or changing their business or careers to find a direction where generating streams of passive income is natural and relatively easy. This is especially important today because so many people work in service businesses where they have to be there personally to make money. There's nothing wrong with being in a personal service business, other than that unless you get on your investment horse pretty soon and do exceptionally well, you'll be trapped into working forever. By choosing business opportunities that immediately or eventually produce passive income, you'll have the best of both worlds: working income now and passive income later. Refer back a few paragraphs to review some of the passive business income options we discussed. Unfortunately, almost everyone has a money blueprint that is set for earning working income and against earning passive income. This attitude will be radically changed after you attend the Millionaire Mind Intensive Seminar, where, using experimental techniques, we change your money blueprint so that earning a massive passive income is normal and natural for you. Rich people think long-term. They balance their spending on enjoyment today with investing for freedom tomorrow. Poor people think short-term. They run their lives based on immediate gratification. Poor people use the excuse, "How can I think about tomorrow when I can barely survive today?" The problem is that, eventually, tomorrow will become today. If you haven't taken care of today's problem, you'll be saying the same thing again tomorrow, too. To increase your wealth, you either have to earn more or live on less. I don't see anyone putting a gun to your head telling you the house you have to live in, the kind of car you have to drive, the clothes you have to wear, or the food you have to eat. You have the power to make choices. It's a matter of priorities. Poor people choose now. Rich people choose balance. I think about my in-laws. For 25 years, my wife's parents owned a variety store, a low-end version of a 7-Eleven and a lot smaller. Most of their income came from the sale of cigarettes, candy bars, ice cream bars, gum, and sodas. They didn't even sell lottery tickets in those days. The average sale was less than a dollar. In short, they were in a penny business. Still, they saved most of those pennies. They didn't eat out. They didn't buy fancy clothes. They didn't drive the latest car. They lived comfortably but modestly, and eventually paid off their mortgage and even bought half of the plaza the store was located within. At the age of 59, by saving and investing pennies, my father-in-law was able to retire. I hate to be the one to have to tell you this, but for the most part, buying things for immediate gratification is nothing more than a futile attempt to make up for our dissatisfaction in life. More often than not, spending money you don't have comes from expending emotions you do have. This syndrome is commonly known as retail therapy. Overspending and the need for immediate gratification have little to do with the actual item you're buying, and everything to do with the lack of fulfillment in your life. Of course, if overspending isn't coming from your immediate emotions, it arises from your money blueprint. According to Natalie, another of our students, her parents were the ultimate cheapskates. They used coupons for everything. Her mother had a file box full of coupons all sorted by category. Her father had a 15-year-old car that was rusting, and Natalie was embarrassed to be seen in it, especially when her mom picked her up from school. Anytime she got in the car, Natalie prayed that no one was looking. On vacation, her family never stayed in a motel or hotel. They didn't even fly, but drove 11 days across the country and camped the whole way every year. Everything was too expensive. The way they acted, Natalie thought her parents were broke. But her dad earned what she believed was a lot of money at the time, $75,000 a year. She was confused. Because she hated their stingy habits, she became the opposite. She wanted everything to be high class and expensive. When she moved out on her own and started making her own money, she didn't even realize it, but in a flash, she had spent all the money she had and then some. Natalie had credit cards, membership cards, you name it. She racked up all of them to the point where she couldn't even pay the minimums anymore. That's when she took the Millionaire Mind Intensive seminar, and she says it saved her life. At the Millionaire Mind Intensive, during the section where we identify your money personality, Natalie's whole world changed. She recognized why she had been spending all her money. It was a form of resentment toward her parents for being so cheap. It was also to prove to herself and the world that she wasn't cheap. Since the course, with her blueprint changed, Natalie says she no longer has the urge to spend her money in stupid ways. Natalie related she was recently walking through a mall and noticed this gorgeous light brown suede and fur coat hanging in the window display of one of her favorite stores. Immediately her mind said, "That coat would look great on you, especially with your blonde hair. You need that. You don't have a really nice, dressy winter coat." So she walked into the store, and as she was trying it on, she noticed the price tag, $400. She had never spent that much on a coat before. Her mind said, "So what? The coat looks gorgeous on you. Get it. You'll make the money up later." This is where she says she discovered how profound the Millionaire Mind Intensive is. Almost as soon as her mind suggested that she buy the coat, her new and more supportive mind file came up and said, "You'd be much better off putting that $400 toward your FFA account. What do you need this coat for? You already have a winter coat that's okay for now." Before she knew it, she was putting the coat on hold until the next day instead of buying it right there in the moment as usual. She never went back to get the coat. Natalie realized that her mental material gratification files had been replaced with financial freedom files. She wasn't programmed to spend anymore. She now knows it's fine to take the best of what her parents modeled for her and save money, and at the same time to treat herself to nice things with her play account. Natalie then sent her parents to the course so they could be more balanced as well. She's thrilled to report they now stay in motels, not hotels yet. They bought a new car, and in learning how to make their money work for them, they've retired as millionaires. Natalie now understands that she doesn't have to be as cheap as her parents were to become a millionaire. But she also knows that if she spends her money unconsciously as before, she'll never be financially free. Natalie says, "It feels amazing to have my money and my mind under control." Again, The idea is to have your money work as hard for you as you do for it. And that means you have to save and invest rather than make it your mission in life to spend it all. It's almost funny. Rich people have a lot of money and spend a little, while poor people have a little money and spend a lot. Long-term versus short-term, poor people work to earn money to live today. Rich people work to earn money to pay for their investments, which will pay for their future. Rich people buy assets, things that will likely go up in value. Poor people buy expenses, things that will definitely go down in value. Rich people collect land. Poor people collect bills. I'll tell you the same thing I tell my kids. Buy real estate. It's best if you can purchase property that can produce positive cash flow, but as far as I'm concerned, any real estate is better than no real estate. Sure, real estate has its ups and downs, but in the end, be it 5, 10, 20, or 30 years from now, you can bet it will be worth a heck of a lot more than it is today, and it could be all you need to get rich. Buy what you can afford now. If you need more capital to get involved, you can partner with people you trust and know well. The only way to get in trouble with real estate is to overextend yourself or have to sell it in a down market. If you heed my earlier advice and manage your money properly, the likelihood of this happening will be extremely slim and likely none. As the saying goes, don't wait to buy real estate. Buy real estate and wait. Since I gave you a previous example involving my in-laws, it's only fair I give you an example involving my own parents. My parents weren't poor, but they barely made the middle class. My dad worked extremely hard, and my mom wasn't physically well, so she stayed home with us kids. My dad was a carpenter and recognized that all builders who employed him were developing land they had purchased years and years ago. He also recognized they were all fairly rich. My parents, too, saved their pennies and eventually had enough to buy a 3-acre parcel of land about 20 miles outside the city in which they lived. It cost them $60,000. 10 years later, a developer decided he wanted to build a strip mall on that property. My parents sold for $600,000. Less their original investment, that's an average earnings of $54,000 a year from their investment, while my dad earned only about $15,000 to a high of $20,000 a year from his job. Of course, they are retired now and live quite comfortably, but I guarantee that without the purchase and sale of this property, they would have been living by the skin of their teeth. Thank goodness my father recognized the power of investment, and especially the value of investing in real estate. Now you know why I collect land. While poor people see a dollar as a dollar to trade for something they want right now, rich people see every dollar as a seed that can be planted to earn 100 more dollars, which can then be replanted to earn 1,000 more dollars. Think about it. Every dollar you spend today may actually cost you $100 tomorrow. Personally, I consider each of my dollars to be investment soldiers, and their mission is freedom. Needless to say, I'm careful with my freedom fighters and don't get rid of them quickly or easily. The trick is to get educated. Learn about the investment world. Become familiar with a variety of different investment vehicles and financial instruments, such as real estate, mortgages, stocks, funds, bonds, currency exchange, the whole gamut. Then, choose one primary area in which to become an expert. Begin investing in that area and then diversify into more later. It comes down to this. Poor people work hard and spend all their money, which results in their having to work hard forever. Rich people work hard, save, and then invest their money so they never have to work hard again. Declaration. Place your hand on your heart and say, "My money works hard for me and makes me more and more money." Touch your head and say, "I have a millionaire mind." Millionaire Mind Actions. 1. Get educated. Take investment seminars. Read at least one investment book a month. Read magazines such as Money, Forbes, Barron's, and the Wall Street Journal. I'm not suggesting you follow their advice. I'm suggesting you get familiar with what financial options are out there. Then choose an area to become an expert in and begin investing in that area. 2. Change your focus from active income to passive income. List at least 3 specific strategies with which you could create income without working, in either the investment or the business field. Begin researching and then take action on these strategies. 3. Don't wait to buy real estate. Buy real estate and wait. Wealth File Number 16. Rich people act in spite of fear. Poor people let fear stop them. Earlier in this book, we discussed the process of manifestation. Let's review the formula. Thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to actions. Actions lead to results. Millions of people think about getting rich, and thousands of people do affirmations, visualizations, and meditations for getting rich. I meditate almost every day. Yet, I've never sat there meditating or visualizing and had a bag of money drop on my head. I guess I'm just one of those unfortunate ones who actually has to do something to be a success. Affirmations, meditations, and visualizations are all wonderful tools, but as far as I can tell, none of them on its own is going to bring you real money in the real world. In the real world, you have to take real action to succeed. Why is action so critical? Let's go back to our process of manifestation. Look at thoughts and feelings. Are they part of the inner world or the outer world? Inner world. Now look at results. Are they part of the inner or outer world? Outer world. That means action is the bridge between the inner world and the outer world. So if action is so important, what prevents us from taking the actions we know we need to take? Fear. Fear, doubt, and worry are among the greatest obstacles not only to success, but to happiness as well. Therefore, one of the biggest differences between rich people and poor people is that rich people are willing to act in spite of fear. Poor people let fear stop them. Susan Jeffers even wrote a fantastic book about this, entitled Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. The biggest mistake most people make is waiting for the feeling of fear to subside or disappear before they are willing to act. These people usually wait forever. One of our most popular programs is the Enlightened Warrior Training Camp. In that training, we teach that a true warrior can tame the cobra of fear. It doesn't say kill the cobra, it doesn't say get rid of the cobra, and it certainly doesn't say run away from the cobra. It says tame the cobra. It is imperative to realize that it is not necessary to try to get rid of fear in order to succeed. Rich and successful people have fear. Rich and successful people have doubts. Rich and successful people have worries. They just don't let these feelings stop them. Unsuccessful people have fears, doubts, and worries, then let those feelings stop them. Because we are creatures of habit, we need to practice acting in spite of fear, in spite of doubt, in spite of worry, in spite of uncertainty, in spite of inconvenience, in spite of discomfort, and even to practice acting when we're not in the mood to act. I remember teaching an evening seminar in Seattle, and near the end, I was letting people know about the upcoming 3-day Millionaire Mind Intensive Seminar being held in Vancouver. This one fella stands up and says, "Harv, I've had at least a dozen of my family and friends attend the course, and the results have been absolutely phenomenal. Every one of them is 10 times happier than before, and they're all on the road to financial success. They all said it was life-changing, and if you were holding the course in Seattle, I'd definitely come too." I thanked him for his testimonial, and then asked if he was open to some coaching. He agreed, and I said, "I have only 3 words for you." He cheerfully replied, "What are they?" To which I tersely responded, "You're frickin' broke." Then I asked him how he was doing financially. He sheepishly replied, "Not too good." Of course, I replied, "No kidding." I then began ranting and raving at the front of the room. If you're going to let a 3-hour drive or a 3-hour flight or a 3-day trek stop you from doing something you need and want to do, then what else will stop you? Here's the easy answer. Anything. Anything will stop you. Not because of the size of the challenge, but because of the size of you. "It's simple," I continued. "Either you are a person who will be stopped, or you are a person who won't be stopped. You choose. If you want to create wealth or any other kind of success, you have to be a warrior. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes. You have to train yourself to not be stopped by anything. Getting rich is not always convenient. Getting rich is not always easy. In fact, getting rich can be pretty damn hard, but so what? One of the key Enlightened Warrior principles states, if you are willing to do only what's easy, life will be hard. But if you are willing to do what's hard, life will be easy. Rich people don't base their actions on what's easy and convenient. That way of living is reserved for the poor and most of the middle class. The tirade was over. The crowd was silent. Later, the fellow who'd started the entire discussion came up and thanked me profusely for opening his eyes. Of course, he registered for the course, even though it was in Vancouver. But what was really funny was overhearing him on the phone as I was leaving, fervently giving the exact same speech I had just given him to one of his friends on the other end of the line. I guess it worked, because the next day he called in with 3 more registrations. They were all from the East Coast, and they were all coming to Vancouver. Now that we've addressed convenience, what about discomfort? Why is acting in spite of discomfort so important? Because comfortable is where you're at now. If you want to move to a new level in your life, you must break through your comfort zone and practice doing things that are not comfortable. Let's suppose you are currently leading a level 5 life, and you want to move to a level 10 life. Level 5 and below are within your comfort zone, but level 6 and above are outside your box, in your uncomfort zone. Meaning, to get a level 10 life from a level 5 life, you will have to travel through your uncomfort zone. Poor people and most of the middle class are not willing to be uncomfortable. Remember, being comfortable is their biggest priority in life. But let me tell you a secret that only rich and highly successful people know. Being comfortable is highly overrated. Being comfortable may make you feel warm, fuzzy, and secure, but it doesn't allow you to grow. To grow as a person, you have to expand your comfort zone. The only time you can actually grow is when you are outside your comfort zone. Let me ask you a question. The first time you tried something new, was it comfortable or uncomfortable? Usually uncomfortable. But what happened afterward? The more you did it, the more comfortable it became, right? That's how it goes. Everything is uncomfortable at the beginning, but if you stick with it and continue, you will eventually move through the uncomfort zone and succeed. Then you will have a new, expanded comfort zone, which means you will have become a bigger person. Again, the only time you are actually growing is when you are uncomfortable. From now on, whenever you feel uncomfortable, instead of retreating back into your old comfort zone, pat yourself on the back and say, "I must be growing," and continue moving forward. If you want to be rich and successful, you'd better get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Consciously practice going into your uncomfort zone and doing what scares you. Here's an equation I want you to remember for the rest of your life. CZ equals WZ. It means your comfort zone equals your wealth zone. By expanding your comfort zone, you will expand the size of your income and wealth zone. The more comfortable you have to be, the fewer risks you will be willing to take, the fewer opportunities you will take advantage of, the fewer people you will meet, and the fewer new strategies you will try. Do you catch my drift? The more comfort becomes your priority, the more contracted you become with fear. On the contrary, when you are willing to stretch yourself, you expand your opportunity zone, and this allows you to attract and hold more income and wealth. Again, when you have a large container, comfort zone, the universe will rush to fill the space. Rich and successful people have a big comfort zone, and they are constantly expanding it to be able to attain and hold more wealth. Nobody ever died of discomfort. Yet living in the name of comfort has killed more ideas, more opportunities, more actions, and more growth than everything else combined. Comfort kills. If your goal in life is to be comfortable, I guarantee 2 things. First, you will never be rich. Second, you will never be happy. Happiness doesn't come from living a lukewarm life, always wondering what could have been. Happiness comes as a result of being in our natural state of growth and living up to our fullest potential. Try this. The next time you are feeling uncomfortable, uncertain, or afraid, instead of shrinking and retreating back to safety, press forward. Notice and experience the feelings of discomfort, recognizing that they are only feelings and that they do not have the power to stop you. If you doggedly continue in spite of discomfort, you will eventually reach your goal. Whether the feelings of discomfort ever subside doesn't matter. In fact, when they do lessen, take it as a sign to increase your objective, because the minute you get comfortable, you have stopped growing. Again, to grow yourself to your fullest potential, you must always be living at the edge of your box. And because we are creatures of habit, we must practice. I urge you to practice acting in spite of fear. Practice acting in spite of inconvenience. Practice acting in spite of discomfort. And practice acting even when you're not in the mood. By doing so, you will quickly move to a higher level of life. Along the way, make sure you check your bank account, because guaranteed that will be growing quickly too. At this point in some of my evening seminars, I ask the audience, how many of you are willing to practice acting in spite of fear and discomfort? Usually everyone puts his or her hand up, probably because they're scared to death I'm going to pick on them. Then I say, talk is cheap. Let's see whether you mean it. I then pull out a wooden arrow with a steel-pointed tip and explain that, as a practice for this discipline, you're going to break this arrow with your throat. I then demonstrate how the steel point goes into the soft part of your throat, while another person holds the other end of the arrow against their outstretched palm. The idea is to walk straight into the arrow and break it using only your throat before it pierces through your neck. At this point, most people are in shock. Sometimes I pick one volunteer to do this exercise. Sometimes I hand out arrows to everyone. I've done audiences where over 1,000 people are breaking arrows. Can this feat be accomplished? Yes. Is it scary? You bet. Is it uncomfortable? Absolutely. But again, the idea is that fear and discomfort do not stop you. The idea is to practice, to train yourself to do whatever it takes, and to act in spite of anything that might be in your way. Do most people break the arrow? Yes. Everyone who walks into it with 100% commitment breaks it. However, those who walk into it slowly, half-heartedly, or not at all, don't. After the arrow exercise, I ask people, how many of you found the arrow easier to break physically than what your mind made it up to be? All agree it was actually a lot easier than they thought it would be. Why is this so? Here comes one of the most important lessons you will ever learn. Your mind is the greatest soap opera scriptwriter in history. It makes up incredible stories, usually based in dramas and disasters, of things that never happened and probably never will. Mark Twain said it best. I've had thousands of problems in my life, most of which have never actually happened. One of the most important things you can ever understand is that you are not your mind. You are much bigger and greater than your mind alone. Your mind is a part of you just as your hand is a part of you. Here's a thought-provoking question. What if you had a hand that was just like your mind? It was scattered all over the place. It was always beating you up, and it never shut up. What would you do with it? Most people answer something like, cut it off. But your hand is a powerful tool, so why would you cut it off? The real answer, of course, is you'd want to control it, manage it, and train it to work for you instead of against you. Training and managing your own mind is the most important skill you could ever own, in terms of both happiness and success. And that's exactly what we've been doing with this book and will continue to do with you should you attend one of our live programs. How do you train your mind? You start with observation. Notice how your mind consistently produces thoughts that are not supportive to your wealth and happiness. As you identify those thoughts, you can begin to consciously replace those non-empowering thoughts with empowering ones. Where do you find these empowering ways of thinking? Right here, in this book. Every one of the declarations in this book is an empowering and successful way of thinking. Adopt these ways of thinking, being, and attitudes as your own. You don't have to wait for a formal invitation. Decide right now that your life would be better if you chose to think in the ways we've been describing in this book instead of through the self-defeating mental habits of the past. Make a decision that from now on, your thoughts do not run you, you run your thoughts. And from now on, your mind is not the captain of the ship. You are the captain of the ship, and your mind works for you. You can choose your thoughts. You have the natural ability to cancel any thought that is not supporting you at any time. You can also install self-empowering thoughts at any time simply by choosing to focus on them. You have the power to control your mind. As I mentioned earlier, at one of my seminars, one of my closest friends and best-selling author, Robert Allen, said something quite profound. No thought lives in your head rent-free. What that means is that you will pay for negative thoughts. You will pay in money, in energy, in time, in health, and in your level of happiness. If you want to quickly move to a new level of life, begin dividing your thoughts into one of two categories, empowering or disempowering. Observe the thoughts you have and determine if they are supportive to your happiness and success or not supportive. Then choose to entertain only empowering thoughts while refusing to focus on disempowering ones. When a non-supportive thought bubbles up, say, cancel or thank you for sharing, and replace it with a more supportive way of thinking. I call this process power thinking. And mark my words, if you practice it, your life will never be the same again. That is a promise. So what is the difference between power thinking and positive thinking? The distinction is slight but profound. To me, people use positive thinking to pretend that everything is rosy when they really believe that it's not. With power thinking, we understand that everything is neutral, that nothing has meaning except for the meaning we give it, and that we are going to make up a story and give something its meaning. This is the difference between positive thinking and power thinking. With positive thinking, people believe that their thoughts are true. Power thinking recognizes that our thoughts are not true, but since we're making up a story anyway, we might as well make up a story that supports us. We don't do this because our new thoughts are true in an absolute sense, but because they are more useful to us and feel a heck of a lot better than non-supportive ones. Before we leave this section, I must warn you. Do not attempt the aerobrake exercise at home. The exercise has to be set up in a specific way or you could hurt yourself as well as others around you. At our programs, we use protective equipment. If you have an interest in these types of breakthrough exercises, see the description of the Enlightened Warrior Training Camp on our website. This program will give you all you can handle and more. Declarations. Place your hand on your heart and say, I act in spite of fear. I act in spite of doubt. I act in spite of worry. I act in spite of inconvenience. I act in spite of discomfort. I act when I'm not in the mood. Touch your head and say, I have a millionaire mind. Millionaire mind actions. 1. List your three greatest worries, concerns, or fears regarding money and wealth. Challenge them. For each, write down what you would do if the situation you fear actually happened. Could you still survive? Could you make a comeback? Chances are the answers are yes. Now quit worrying and start getting rich. 2. Practice getting out of your comfort zone. Intentionally make decisions that are uncomfortable for you. Speak to people you normally wouldn't speak to. Ask for a raise in your job or raise your prices in your business. Wake up an hour earlier each day. Walk in the woods at night. Take the Enlightened Warrior Training. It will train you to be unstoppable. 3. Employ power thinking. Observe yourself and your thought patterns. Entertain only thoughts that support your happiness and success. Challenge the little voice in your head whenever it tells you, I can't, or I don't want to, or I don't feel like it. Don't allow this fear-based, comfort-based voice to get the better of you. Make a pact with yourself that whenever the voice tries to stop you from doing something that would be supportive to your success, you will do it anyway, to show your mind that you are the boss, not it. Not only will you increase your confidence dramatically, but eventually this voice will get quieter and quieter as it recognizes it has little effect on you. Success story from Andrew Wilton. Harv, my name is Andrew Wilton and I'm 18 years old. I have just completed my first year of university. I attended the Millionaire Mind Intensive 2 years ago and I have been using the techniques I learned there ever since. This past February for reading week, while my friends were working or visiting their families, using the money that I had saved through your methods, I was able to spend 10 days on the southern coast of Spain. What an experience. I wouldn't have had the financial freedom to go wherever I wanted and do whatever I wanted if I hadn't implemented the strategies I learned at the MMI. Thank you, Harv. Wealth File Number 17. Rich people constantly learn and grow. Poor people think they already know. At the beginning of my live seminars, I introduce people to what I call the three most dangerous words in the English language. Those words are, I know that. So how do you know if you know something? Simple. If you live it, you know it. Otherwise, you heard about it, you read about it, or you talk about it, but you don't know it. Put bluntly, if you're not really rich and really happy, there's a good chance you still have some things to learn about money, success, and life. As I explained at the beginning of this book, during my broke days, I was fortunate to get some advice from a multimillionaire friend who had some compassion for my plight. Remember what he said to me. Harv, if you're not as successful as you'd like to be, there's something you don't know. Fortunately, I took his suggestion to heart and went from being a know-it-all to a learn-it-all. From that moment on, everything changed. Poor people are often trying to prove that they're right. They put on a mask as if they've got it all figured out, and it's just some stroke of bad luck or a temporary glitch in the universe that has them broke or struggling. One of my more famous lines is, "You can be right or you can be rich, but you can't be both." Being right means having to hold on to your old ways of thinking and being. Unfortunately, these are the ways that got you exactly where you are now. This philosophy also pertains to happiness, in that you can be right or you can be happy. There's a saying that author and speaker Jim Rohn uses that makes perfect sense here. If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always got. You already know your way. What you need is to know some new ways. That's why I wrote this book. My goal is to give you some new mental files to add to the ones you already have. New files mean new ways of thinking, new actions, and therefore, new results. That's why it's imperative you continue to learn and grow. Physicists agree that nothing in this world is static. Everything alive is constantly changing. Take any plant. If a plant isn't growing, it is dying. It's the same with people as well as all other living organisms. If you are not growing, you are dying. One of my favorite sayings is by author and philosopher Eric Hoffer, who said, "The learners shall inherit the earth, while the learned will be beautifully equipped to live in a world that no longer exists." Another way of saying that is, if you're not continuously learning, you will be left behind. Poor people claim they can't afford to get educated due to lack of time or money. On the other hand, rich people relate to Benjamin Franklin's quote, "If you think education is expensive, try ignorance." I'm sure you've heard this before. Knowledge is power, and power is the ability to act. Whenever I offer the Millionaire Mind Intensive Program, I find it interesting that it's usually the people who are the most broke who say, "I don't need the course, I don't have the time, or I don't have the money." Meanwhile, the millionaires and multimillionaires all register and say, "If I can learn just one new thing or make one improvement, it's worth it." By the way, if you don't have the time to do the things you want to do or need to do, you're most probably a modern slave. And if you don't have the money to learn how to be successful, you probably need it more than anyone. I'm sorry, but saying "I don't have the money" just doesn't cut it. When will you have the money? What is going to be different a year or 2 years or 5 years from now? Here's the easy answer. Nothing. And you'll be saying the exact same words again at that time. The only way I know for you to have the money you want is to learn how to play the money game inside and out. You need to learn the skills and strategies to accelerate your income, to manage your money, and to invest it effectively. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Look, if what you've been doing were working, you'd already be rich and happy. Anything else your mind conjures up as a response is nothing more than an excuse or justification. I hate to be so in your face about it, but the way I see it, that's my job. I believe a good coach will always ask more of you than you will ask of yourself. Otherwise, why the heck do you need one? As a coach, my goal is to train you, inspire you, encourage you, coax you, and have you observe in full living color what is holding you back. In short, to do whatever it takes to move you to the next level in your life. If I have to, I'll rip you apart and then piece you back together in a way that works. I'll do whatever it takes to make you 10 times happier and 100 times as rich. If you're looking for Pollyanna, I'm not your guy. If you want to move quickly and permanently, let's continue. Success is a learnable skill. You can learn to succeed at anything. If you want to be a great golfer, you can learn how to do it. If you want to be a great piano player, you can learn how to do it. If you want to be truly happy, you can learn how to do it. If you want to be rich, you can learn how to do it. It doesn't matter where you are right now. It doesn't matter where you are starting from. What matters is that you are willing to learn. One of my better-known quotes is, "Every master was once a disaster." Here's an example. A while ago, I had an Olympic skier in my seminar. When I made that statement, he stood up and asked to share. He was adamant, and for some reason I thought he was going to vehemently disagree. To the contrary, he told everyone the story of how when he was a kid, he was the worst skier of all his buddies. How they sometimes wouldn't call him to go skiing with them because he was so slow. To fit in, he went to the mountain early each weekend and took lessons. Pretty soon, he not only kept up with his buddies, he surpassed them. He then got involved in the racing club and learned from a top-ranked coach. His exact words were, "I might be a master skier now, but I definitely started out as a disaster." Harv's absolutely right. You can learn to succeed at anything. I learned how to succeed at skiing, and my next goal is to learn how to succeed with money. No one comes out of the womb a financial genius. Every rich person learned how to succeed at the money game, and so can you. Remember, your motto is, "If they can do it, I can do it." Becoming rich isn't as much about getting rich financially as about whom you have to become in character and mind to get rich. I want to share a secret with you that few people know. The fastest way to get rich and stay rich is to work on developing you. The idea is to grow yourself into a successful person. Again, your outer world is merely a reflection of your inner world. You are the root. Your results are the fruits. There's a saying I like. You take yourself with you wherever you go. If you grow yourself to become a successful person, in strength of character and mind, you will naturally be successful in anything and everything you do. You will gain the power of absolute choice. You will gain the inner power and ability to choose any job, business, or investment arena, and know you'll be a success. This is the essence of this book. When you are a level 5 person, you get level 5 results. But if you can grow into a level 10 person, you will get level 10 results. Heed this warning, however. If you don't do the inner work on yourself and somehow you make a lot of money, it would most likely be a stroke of luck and there's a good chance you'd lose it. But if you become a successful person, inside and out, you'll not only make it, you'll keep it, grow it, and most important, you'll be truly happy. Rich people understand the order to success is be, do, have. Poor and middle-class people believe the order to success is have, do, be. Poor and most middle-class people believe if I have a lot of money, then I could do what I want and I'd be a success. Rich people understand if I become a successful person, I will be able to do what I need to do to have what I want, including a lot of money. Here's something else only rich people know. The goal of creating wealth is not primarily to have a lot of money. The goal of creating wealth is to help you grow yourself into the best person you can possibly be. In fact, that is the goal of all goals, to grow yourself as a person. World-renowned singer and actress Madonna was asked why she kept changing her persona, her music, and her style every year. She responded that music was her way to express herself, and that reinventing herself each year forces her to grow into the kind of person she wants to be. In short, success is not a what, it's a who. The good news is that who you are is totally trainable and learnable. I should know. By no means am I perfect or even close to it, but when I look at who I am today as opposed to who I was 20 years ago, I can see a direct correlation between me and my wealth or lack of it then and me and my wealth now. I learned my way to success, and so can you. That's why I'm in the training business. I know from personal experience that virtually any person can be trained to succeed. I was trained to succeed, and now I've been able to train tens of thousands of others to succeed. Training works. I've found that another key difference between rich people and poor and middle-class people is that rich people are experts in their field. Middle-class people are mediocre in their field. And poor people are poor in their field. How good are you at what you do? How good are you at your job? How good are you at your business? Do you want a totally unbiased way of knowing? Look at your paycheck. That will tell you everything. It's simple. To get paid the best, you must be the best. We recognize this principle in the professional sports world every day. Generally,